Before we begin, I just want to welcome the members of Father Phil's family. His anniversary of his death was yesterday. We're going to dedicate the garden today. It's a kind of a poignant moment. I'll talk more about after communion, and also to the Kerrs. I don't know if they're on the other side. I've told. Anyway, you're over there. Oh, I know you're there. I see. Anyway, today's Gospel of Martha and Mary is an extremely poignant gospel. It's very short, but there's endless insights that you can pull out of it. I invite you to find your own this week if you meditate on this gospel. Because I think there's a little Martha and Mary in every one of us. I don't know, most of you are probably more Martha than Mary, if I imagine, but who knows. I met a couple of Marys after Mass that told me they were all Mary and no Martha. That certainly doesn't describe any diocesan priest I know. Jesus has been traveling for the last 6 or 8 Gospels. And he started out in Galilee, of course, and he's been working his way down to Jerusalem very slowly. He sent out the 72 a few weeks ago, and he said, don't take a suitcase and stay wherever you're put and don't complain about the accommodations. And he told somebody that, if you follow me, you'll have no place to rest because you'll be moving all the time. And he's been giving all this travel advice. So today he comes to the home of his friends Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Bethany, where they live, we learn about the city from John's Gospel. And it's just on the other side of the hill of the Mount of Olives. And you can still walk from Bethany to Jerusalem today. It's kind of a hike, but Jesus no doubt stayed there on several occasions. We don't know where he met Martha and Mary, but no doubt he stayed there partly because he loved them and partly to save money. Because Jesus was a very poor man. He probably couldn't afford to stay in the city of Jerusalem. Just like today, big cities cost more money. So one wonders, as he approaches Bethany, if Martha and Mary knew he was coming. He couldn't get on the telephone and call them. Can you imagine Jesus and at least 13 disciples descending on the house for lunch? Think about it. Has it ever happened to you? 13 friends show up for lunch? That would challenge us in this age just as much as that. We don't know how many were there, but I can bet there were more than just Jesus showing up. Who knows how many people were following him around or where they stayed. So you can see Martha's eyes kind of pop out and she's thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to get to work. And she gets busy with all the arrangements of hospitality. As we think about this gospel, we have to remember that Martha is operating in an era without a refrigerator. She doesn't have running water. She might have had to go and slaughter the fatted calf like Abraham did in the first reading. Who knows how they cooked in those days, but like 100 years ago, it was a lot harder. They were used to it. But it was a lot of work. And I suspect Mary probably had some help from some of the people that came with Jesus. Remember how in one of the previous Gospels, it said some of the women were following along and meeting his needs. Maybe some of them or some other people came in and helped. But there was one person who was not helping. Mary. In the other story about Martha and Mary, when Lazarus died, it's Martha that goes running out to see Jesus and says, oh, if only you had been here. Mary's sitting in the house. Mary's the kind of person that liked to sit, I guess. She was a sitter. She's probably the kind of person like I like to do is when everything's 98% done, you say, oh, is there anything I can do? Ever tried that? People see right through you. Martha's cooking. I love to read between the lines. I really invite you to learn to do this. The Gospels are very condensed. All they had was one scroll. They leave out all the best details. But Martha, she's a Jewish woman, you know, and she's peeking out of the kitchen. She's giving Mary dirty looks, you know. Can't you see her doing this? You can tell by the explosion that occurs at the end of this reading. She's getting her attention. Mary sees her. Oh, she sees her all right. Finally, Martha comes out like this. She waits till nobody's looking, but she's kind of standing there. And as soon as Mary catches her eye, she does something like this. Can't you just see it? Lord, that's what I would have done. I am 100% on Martha's side in this argument. To me, Mary is selfish. That's what it looks like. She wants to be served. She doesn't want to serve. She wants it all. She wants to listen to her guest. She'll let Martha do all the cooking. And isn't it Christ who said it is better to serve than to be served? Isn't it Christ that said the Son of Man came to serve? Isn't he the one that waited on everyone at the Last Supper? Isn't he the one that said, love your neighbor as yourself? Who's the one following the gospel in this story? Martha. Who's the canonized saint in this story? Martha. Some of you knew that. Did you know Mary's not a canonized saint? We're not sure who that Mary is. That's one reason for that. Martha. There's a Saint Martha. But in this story, she is wrong, wrong, wrong. And I would bet $1,000 Mary did not have a clue that she was right. Mary didn't know she was choosing the better part. She just had that innate, intuitive sense of what was right. She had the Spirit. Martha finally gets so mad, she comes out. And she blurts out, because she's been stewing and she's been boiling over. And she says, Lord, right in front of everyone, tell my sister to help me. She's been ignoring my gestures the last 15 minutes. How do you expect, she looks at Mary and she says, how do you expect them to eat? There's 13 people here and you're leaving me to do all the work. Don't you realize how much work I have to do? Don't you want us to be hospitable, which is a Jewish virtue? Going back to Abraham, how can you be so selfish? Lord, tell her how to be a good Jewish host. What does Jesus do? Martha, Martha. Sometimes he stays out of these arguments, especially inheritance arguments, you know. But this one, he comes down 100% on Mary's side. I get so mad when I hear this. I would have been livid. And Jesus says, Martha, you are busy about so many things. But Mary has found the one thing that really matters. And I will not take it away from her. Because Jesus knew. Can you imagine them sitting in that house after the crucifixion of Jesus? And the resurrection from the dead, which occurred in Bethany, by the way. No doubt they were there. Doesn't say that, but I'm sure they were. How many years did they dwell upon that day that Jesus sat in their home? Where was Martha? Cooking in the kitchen. She should have been making sandwiches and get right out there. She didn't know. But she didn't have that sense of God's will in this situation. And our Lord is very clear in this gospel. This is not really about waiting on tables and relatives who won't do their bit, of which there are plenty, as you all know. We've all got them in our family. Maybe you're one of them. But that's not what this story is all about. It's all about finding the one thing in your life that really, really matters. I want to tell you a story. I forgot to tell at 8:15, but, you know, when I went to Ohio, I really had my misgivings about going because 70 relatives, 95% humidity, 6 flights, who needs it, right? I said, let's just go to the beach, and, you know, but I did go. It was a great blessing. And I got a call on Friday from one of my close relatives who said, your aunt, whom you saw, I've seen very seldom this aunt, whom I loved, I've come to love her, and he said, she's dying of lung cancer, she found out on Friday. Can't you see the one thing that matters? My inconvenience meant nothing to me. I was so glad that I had seen her. I put her picture that I took with her on my screensaver on my computer, and it's going to sit there for a long time. Because what matters to us is the people we loved and the people who loved us. Which is why we're dedicating this garden today, isn't it? And our faith. Everything else is going to go away. You're never going to finish that to-do list. Now, the Lord is not calling us to be all passive or all active. We are called to have a balance of these two things. It is very hard to remain in balance. Those of us who are Marthas, and I include myself in that, like I said, I've never met a diocesan priest that was a Mary. It just doesn't go with this life. But I'm, like many of you, I'm a Martha in search of a Mary, you know? But I'll tell you one thing. I have an hour before the Blessed Sacrament every day. And I've done that for decades. I'm not bragging. I would not be here next week if I gave that up. In order to be Martha all day long, I've got to have that Mary. I did it this morning before Mass, which is almost a miracle like the Second Coming. But that's, you know, to get up that early. But it's really important to keep grounded in listening in order to give you what God is saying. You too must find a way to listen. You're not all called to spend an hour. Many of you mothers can't do that. I've been yelled at by a number of mothers who feel guilty. They say, don't make us feel guilty. We can't sit down for 5 minutes, let alone an hour. But you've got to find some way to listen. Those of you who listen too much, you've got to get out and do something. We find a balance. This week was a very difficult week for me here in the parish for a number of reasons. Summer is supposed to be light, but this week was not. We had a lot of really great meetings with a lot that got done. I'm really very, very grateful to God. One night, I think it was Thursday night, we had a facilities meeting, and then I had a meeting in the parking lot with someone that lasted, I think, about 10 o'clock. And everything was great. And I came home and I said, you know, Friday I want to put something in the crock pot. And there was already something in it that had penicillin growing in it, you know. You know how single guys are. But I had to get that out of there. And so I dumped it in the garbage disposal. It had potatoes in it. Any of you know what happens when you put too many potatoes down the garbage disposal? Last year it was crab cakes. Anybody remember this story? The darn thing's even... Oh. Well, anyway, it was 10:30 at night. I had a 16-hour day, which I really try to avoid. I wanted that hour of rest. I put this in the garbage disposal, and it made a funny noise. I thought, oh, there must be a bone down there. About 20 seconds later, Old Faithful erupted. I say Old Faithful because it was about a year ago that I had crab cakes all over the kitchen. Spoiled crab cakes. Now there's a... Think about that smell. One fountain came out from under the washing machine. This washing machine is a real bear to get out, I can tell you, if you've been to the rectory. One came out of the dishwasher. And one erupted in a 3-foot fountain. It went back and forth, and then it came back up out of the garbage disposal and went all over the kitchen. And I couldn't believe it. I shut off the garbage disposal, and that put an end to the power wash that I was getting. This was spoiled food, okay? All I did was close the kitchen doors and go to bed, you know. I had white caps floating in the... You may remember I had this problem with the coffee maker twice when I first came here. I have this history of flooding the kitchen. And I said to the Lord, I felt like Martha. I said, for 16 hours, slave for you today. All I wanted was a little rest. What do you give me? It's not the fountain of youth that I received here. I had my moment, and then I said, you know, I'm thinking about Martha and Mary. Some days we just can't be Mary, no matter how, M-A-R-Y, no matter how hard we try. And I said to the Lord, what is the one thing that really matters here? Isn't my fundamental option as a priest and as a Christian, I hope I share this with you, is to please the Lord, to love Him? Isn't that what my life is all about? Can I love you while I'm cleaning this mess up? Well, I can tell you there was a time when that would not have been the case. He and I would have had words, but, you know, I just kept my mouth shut. And I had a contemplative moment while I got the mop out, and I really did. And I said, Lord, I thank you for this moment. I can glorify you in this horror. And it was. It took about 2 days to get things back to normal. But I have a nice clean kitchen, and I learned that in every situation that we find ourselves in, the Lord says, don't lose sight of what really matters in your life. I am the one that matters. Don't ever let go of me, or everything that you're doing makes no sense. A lot of people have the wrong goals in life. They're busy for the sake of busyness. They go on vacation just to get away. They watch TV just to escape. They don't have the Lord in mind. And none of it has a goal. Our goal is to get to heaven. Our goal is to love God. We all fail many times. What is my fundamental goal? Look at how you're living your life. That will tell you what your fundamental goal is. Most of us are a little off base. Our goal, the way our Lord wants us to live, is a balance like the monks, you know, up at Mount Angel. Work and prayer. Prayer and work. I listen at the feet of Jesus like Mary. I serve like Martha. But I never lose sight of the one thing that really matters. And that is the great mystery of our lives and the great message of today's gospel.